We're on page 840, Pasuk Yud Beis. No. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Okay. So far we're learning that you have to take the Parah Adumah, and we learned the great length. The concept of the Parah Adumah was a chukas chakika. Parah Adumah, it makes the people that are impure pure, it makes the people that are pure impure. And that whole thing. And we'll soon later, there's a Kleyok explaining the logic of the illogic, because it really doesn't make sense. Okay. Page 840. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk 13. Okay, so it says like this. Who has to use the ashes of the Parah Adumah? Hanegeh b'meis l'chol nefesh adam. If anybody touches the dead body of any person, v'tameh shivas yamim, they're impure 7 days. The only impurity, not the only impurity, but the impurity of Tumas Mes is actually 7 day impurity. If you would go to the mikveh afterwards, it would not be sufficient. In the time of the Parah Adumah, you actually needed the squirting of the ashes of the Parah Adumah in addition to mikveh. Okay, as we're soon going to see. So anybody that touches a dead body becomes Tumas. Okay? No, you know what? I'm sorry. You have to go back to Pasuk Yud Aleph. I wanted to start Yud Aleph, and this just looked the same. Pasuk Yud Aleph. And again, b'meis b'nefesh adam, v'tameh shivas yam. Okay, if you touch a dead body, you're tameh 7 days. Hu yischata bay, even though yischata normally means to sin, chet, but here Rashi says it means a purification. Who yischata bay, he has to become impure. Pure, I mean, he has to purify himself with the ashes of the Parah Adumah. Bayem ashlishi uvayem ashvi. He has to purify himself on the 3rd day of his impurity and on the 7th day. And he says, v'yem lo yischata bayem ashlishi vayem ashvi. If you didn't do it on the 3rd day and the 7th day, that means maybe you did it on the 2nd day and the 5th day, or you didn't do it, lo yitod. Will not become tahor. In order to become pure, and this again is totally illogical, the Torah says, if you came in contact with a dead body, and we're going to soon learn the various different ways of becoming in contact with a dead body. Meanwhile, the Torah says, you touch a dead body, okay, you become tameh for 7 days. You need to purify yourself on the 3rd day and the 7th day with the ashes mixed with the water of the Parah Adumah, and then you become pure. And if you didn't, you're still not pure. And therefore the Torah continues. It says, Kol anegea b'meis b'nefesh adam asher yomos v'lo yizchata. What happens if somebody touches it and will not become pure? As Mishkan Hashem Timei, if, as Rashi explains, if he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, if he goes in the impure state into the Beis HaMikdash, the punishment is chorus. If a person who is tameh from a dead body goes into the Beis HaMikdash without getting purified on the 3rd and the 7th, so then the Torah says, you get chorus. That's why today you can't go, because we're all tameh nefesh. We don't have the Parah Adumah. That's why you can't go, and by the Kotel, you see it says you can't go further, but that, because that becomes what's called Mokim HaMikdosh, the place of the Beis HaMikdosh, where the mosque is, for instance. You can't go at the Beis HaMikdosh, because inside the Kotel is already what's called Mokim HaMikdosh, and the Torah says, if you come into that area without the Parah Adumah, you could have gone to Mikvah 100 times, it's not going to help. If you don't have the Parah Adumah on the 3rd and the 7th day, that soul will be cut off from the Jewish people, meaning the punishment is chorus. Why? Because he did not become the sprinkling waters, what's called here mein nida, was not squirted upon him. His tumah is still existing.
You have to do 3rd and 7th day, both the same
thing.
The
same way, 3rd and 7th.
Both days you have to do.
Yeah, but I have to do it both days. And the Torah again repeats it. That if you didn't do it on the 3rd and 7th, that means if you did it on the 4th and 6th, 3rd and 8th, It has to be the third and the seventh day. Those 2 days must be the days that you get squirted with the ashes of the Parah Aduma, and then you become pure. Otherwise, your tumah stays, and it could be 100 years. It's a very interesting concept. By, you know, impurity doesn't get less. A person is tumah for 100 years, okay? And he was tumah 100 years ago, and he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he's still going to get v'nichrasa. Until you purify yourself from impurity, once you are impure, it remains forever.
Time doesn't weaken
with time. There's no statute of limitation. There's no anything like that. Tumah is unique. If you're tumah until regular tumah, you go to the mikveh. Or by Parah Aduma, you get the red heifer. It could be 1,000 years. Like from the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have the Parah Aduma anymore, right? So if a guy became tumah the day after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, they're still tumah with that until today. It could be 2,000 years, they're still tumah.
Misses one of the 7th days, but is there any way to do
that? Or? No, you have to start again.
Start again.
Yeah. Okay, so therefore the Torah is basically saying the general dinim of the Parah Aduma, the way it's good, the ashes are squirted with the grass and the mixture of the water, and then the person becomes tar. Okay, now it's like this. Now the Torah goes into very interesting, again, this is completely illogical. Okay? It doesn't make sense in any... In fact, the Rambam says a very interesting thing at the end of the laws of mikveh. The Rambam says a very interesting statement. He says, a dead body doesn't make you impure, and a mikveh doesn't make you pure. God says, if you touch a dead body, you become impure, and if you go to the mikveh, you become pure. In other words, it's not something that makes sense in logic. You know, it's not like dirt. Okay, I touch something dirty, you have to wash my hands and get clean. Something which is impurity, it's not anything physical. You can be sterilized, clean. But the tumah is still there. Okay, the tumah is there, and until you undo the tumah, either mikveh, parah aduma, or whatever it is, and again, all the laws, we're going to soon learn laws that are completely illogical. In the laws of purity and impurity, bottom line is, this is what the Torah says.
The reason that in this grave, you cannot eat food or something because it's tumah?
In a cemetery? Yeah. No, because you're not allowed to make fun of the dead people. You can't, where it sits is out in a cemetery because you're laughing at the dead people. You could do mitzvahs, I could do mitzvahs, and you can't. The dead people. So you're not allowed to daven next to a grave, unless tillim, you could say. But so you can't make a minyan for mincha in a cemetery next to grave. You have to be at least 6 feet away from the graves. You can't do mitzvahs in a grave because the Gemara uses it's called loyeg l'rosh. You're laughing at the dead people. You're making fun of the poor. Today I don't have the ability. Okay, let's see the psukim.
So
what?
What about pouring the dirt? That's a mitzvah.
Yeah, but then you become tummy.
By pouring the dirt.
No, that's what you're doing for the dead person. But you're not doing mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. You're getting a mitzvah, but the mitzvah is to take care of the dead body. I'm saying you can't daven, you can't learn, you can't have tzitzis, you can't wear tefillin in the cemetery. It's not because the tefillin is going to become tummy. That's a different thing. No, you can't wear tefillin in a cemetery. Tefillin can't become tummy because you're laughing at the dead people that cannot do the mitzvahs.
Isn't there a custom of praying by a tzaddik's grave?
Yeah, but that's not you can't have mincha by a tzaddik's grave. You have to go away. Here you're davening because you're asking the tzaddik to mix in to Hashem for you. But you can't daven mincha, what?
So if you're going to the cemetery but you're not touching any dead body, still you become
if you step around the grave, if you're under it, okay, let's see the din. Let's see it inside the pasuk. Where do you have to go? Okay, pasuk yudalit on 840, middle of the page. Zeis ha-teira, this is the law of Adam ki yomuz ba'eil, if a person will die in a tent. any person that comes into the tent, and everything which is in the tent, meaning not only the person, but all the utensils and the clothing and everything, Yitma Shivas Yamin will become Tamei 7 days. Okay, meaning, the Torah is saying over here, there's what's called Oil Hames. Oil Hames means, we just mentioned it briefly last week, if you have under the same covering, even though you're not even touching the mess, it could be a big room that's 100 yards long, you know? But if you're on one side of the room, and there's a ceiling, and the mess is on the other side of the room, even if you didn't see it, you don't even know it exists, but you were in the room, you become tamei for 7 days. As if you touched it.
Without touching.
Huh? Without even though you didn't touch it, I'm saying, even without touching, you still become tamei.
When you go to somebody,
like what? You need to. For this, you're going to need paraduma. Yeah.
If you didn't touch it,
even if you didn't touch the dead body, you're in the same roof. Or like we said last week, if you have a tree, yeah, that's outside the cemetery, and the branches are going over the cemetery, and you're walking, and the branches are going out of the cemetery, and you walk under the tree outside of the cemetery. If it's the same tent, if it's the same tent, you become tamei. Now, there's a machlekes. Now, the din is like this. If you touch a dead body of a non-Jew, it's also tamei. Yeah. If you touch the body of a non-Jew, you're also tamei. When it says here, Adam ki yomez ba'oil, if a man dies in the tent, there's an argument between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, but the halacha is like Rav Shimon, that only Atem Kriyim Adam, only a Jew is called Adam, and therefore the din of Ohel only applies by Jews, not by Goyim. That means, if a Goy's body is in a room, okay, and the Jew is in the same room, not touching the dead body, but just under the same tent, according to the halacha is, it's not Tamei. And in fact, if you remember, when we learned the word Zeis Chukas HaTorah, and the older Mefarshim, why does it say Zeis Chukas HaTorah? It should say Zeis Chukas HaParah. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh answered, he said like this, because what makes the concept of Tuma and Tahara? Only because of a Jew. And a Jew, because he has Torah. In fact, the Aruch Chaim says over here the same thing. Zeis HaTorah, Adam ki yom is ba'il. Why does it say Zeis HaTorah? Why does it say Zeis HaTorah? It should say, Adam ki yom, it's talking about the laws, right? So the pasuk should say, Adam ki yom is ba'il. If a man dies in the tent, everybody who comes in the tent is something. Why does the pasuk give an introduction? Zeis HaTorah, this is the Torah. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh explains, the Torah is giving a reason why it only applies to a Jew. Because Ohel only applies to a Jew. Touching applies even to a non-Jew. Ohel, the tent, applies only to Jews. So he says, why? So the Torah says, because a Jew has Torah. Meaning, and this is a very interesting concept, Buchlau, Tumah basically exists where Kedusha was and left. But there was never Kedusha to begin with. Tumah doesn't apply. I'll give you an example. A Jew wakes up in the morning, the first thing you do is you wash your hands. Okay, after Modani, but you wash your hands. Why? Because it says when a person's at night, the person goes to sleep, the neshama goes up, so tumah comes in. You wake up in the morning, the tumah leaves, but it stays on the fingertips. So you have to get the tumah off, so you wash netila, negel vaser is called. And we know Jews are supposed to be very, very careful not to touch food before you wash your hands, not to touch parts of the body which are normally covered before you wash negel vaser. Yeah? And Jews are very careful about it. They don't touch food before they wash netila. Yet everybody has a housekeeper. Or, and if everybody has a housekeeper, but you have a housekeeper, they're not Jewish, they wake up in the morning, they don't wash netila, trust me. They don't say Maidani, and they don't do Netila, Yadayim. Okay? Yet they come and they touch your food, they cut up your salad, they... What's going on here? Nobody makes the housekeepers wash Netila before they start working. Why not? So it says, because there's no tumah in the morning by a goy. So it says, why? Huh?
By Jew, yes, by goy, no.
Savlonut. You know how to say that in Farsi? I don't know.
Oselet.
Okay. Wholesale. Yeah. So, retail is rapacious. So it says, why is there tumah by the hands of a Jew, not by a goy? Because a Jew has a neshama, and therefore when the neshama leaves, so tumah comes in. But by a non-Jew, they don't have this neshama, so tumah doesn't come in. So they wake up in the morning. So there's a difference between the tumah by a Jew and a non-Jew. So the halach is, if you touch a non-Jew, it's takotami, it's a dead body. I mean, even lahavdol, it's not the comparing, but if you touch a dead body of an animal, you also become tummy. Not 7 days, it's for aduma, right? It says, kol aneger, before it says, b'meisel chol nefesh adam. Before the pasuk says the 7 days that you need the part adum and all that, the Torah says clearly negeh b'meisel chol nefesh adam. If you touch a dead body, a dead cow, then you don't, you become tomei, but you don't have 7 days. So the Torah says like this: zeicha teira adam ki yomus ba'il, if a man will die in a tent, and that's what we discussed. There's a very interesting problem that kohenim have going into cemeteries, not in cemeteries, going into hospitals. Hospitals have morgues, right? Hospitals have patients, and believe it or not, let me tell you a little secret, there are people that die every day in the hospital. Yeah? So the question is, you're talking about Sofik Minatora, it's a biblical doubt of Tuma, Kain biblically cannot become Tomei. And this din of Ohel would apply even to a coin, right? If he's a, so the question is, how, and there are kohenim that don't go into hospitals. And the kohenim, when their wives gave birth, they didn't go to the hospital with the wife. They had somebody else go. But their kohenim didn't want to go because there may be somebody died, there's a morgue. The reason why in most hospitals today, they're lenient because the majority of the patients are goyim. And the Torah says you go by the majority. So if in case somebody dies, there's a assumption that it came from the majority and it's a goy, and a goy is not metame bayon, you're not touching the dead body. But let's say, God forbid, you know, God forbid it happens also, if somebody dies in a shul, it happens, you know, it happens, people died in the shul or in a house, kohenim have to run out. The kohenim have to, they have a mitzvah to run out of the house. They're not obligated for being, you know, they don't get punished, they don't sin for being in the room. What do you expect them to do? How are they supposed to think somebody's dying? But the second they find out about it, I remember there's once a guy, a big chassid, passed away right before Kol Nidre in 770. And the Rebbe was in the room, the Rebbe came down to Kol Nidre, and they were about to start Kol Nidre, and this person had a massive heart attack in the Rebbe's shul. So the Rebbe right away said, the Rabbanim should not rule that the guy is dead until all the Kohenim are out. So right away the Kohenim ran out of shul, and then the Rabbanim paskened, he's dead. And so they're like, until Taylor says you're dead, he's not dead, so to speak. So there wasn't a problem, but the Kohenim left right away from the shul. The Kohenim had to... It was thousands of people there in 770, you know, Yom Kippur night. It's thousands of people. But all the Kohenim left, and then the Rabbanim proclaimed that he passed away, and then, you know.
How can they kill him? Because he already died. How come they can't force?
How do you know? A person's not dead necessarily until doctors proclaim him dead. Even a geis, okay, I'm not going into these morbid laws. Even a geisus, you can't touch him. A person that dies, you're not allowed to touch him for a number of minutes after he dies, because maybe he didn't actually die yet, and by you touching him, you're going to make him die. So even a geis, a person that's dying, that you think is dead, you still have to leave him for a few minutes before you can even touch him or cover him or anything, because you need to make sure that the person's dead. Okay, anyway. Now, so that's the din of oil. So people have to be very careful, especially Kayanim. Today it only applies to Kayanim. But somebody's a Kayan, they have to be careful. They can't go into, even, you know, sometimes they bring a dead body by a funeral. They bring him into the shul, you know, for the funeral. Yeah? So the Kayanim have to go out before the body comes in. And if they're taking the body, you know, down the street and people walk by it together, you know, behind it, Kayanim have to make sure they're not walking under any trees that can possibly cover both at the same time, because that's the din of a oel. So nowadays, for anybody but Kayanim, it doesn't matter, because we're all Tamei anyway, we don't have Parah Aduma, or we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. But
a Kayan can go to a Tzadikim?
Kivrei Tzadikim?
If he's not in the cemetery, if it's on the side.
There's a whole argument in the Poskim about it. We mentioned, the Gemara says the day Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died, Batla Kuhuna. Kuhuna was Batla. So this whole argument in the Rishonim of the Gemara, at the end of Ksubas, what the Gemara exactly means. Taisa says it means that they said the Kohenim could become Tamei, because Tzadikim, Afilu B'misosim Nikra Chayim. Gemara says, Tzadik, even when he's dead, is called alive. So that's the whole concept in the Gemara about Kivrei Tzadikim, if they're metame, if they're not metame, does a Kiva of a Tzadik make you Tommy or not? And we said, Reb Chaim HaKoyen was one of the people from Tosis. Reb Chaim HaTosis brings on, Omer Reb Chaim HaKoyen, Ilo Hayisi Shom, Kshemes Rabbeinu Tam, if I would have been there when Rabbeinu Tam passed away, I would have gone to the funeral. Based on that Gemara. Okay. Now that's another din. V'chol kli pesuach, any open vessel, asher ain't samid pasul olav, that does not have this cover fastened to it, tamei hu, it's tamei. And this is a very strange, very strange din. There's something... Who's over there? Who's there?
Rats.
No, there are no more rats.
Not the kids.
Oh, some kids. Okay, you're right, they're rats. Big ones. Two-legged ones. Okay. Anyway, there's something called klicheres, and there's all the other kelim. Klicheres means an earthenware vessel. Clay, porcelain, you know, I mean... pottery, you know, all that type of this is called klicheres. There is a very strange din. The only way, and this again, what the Torah is saying here, and it doesn't make sense in any way. If you touch the klicheres on the outside with something tamei, it doesn't become tamei. Let's say a sheretz, right? The dead bug that makes, that the Torah says, the eight dead bugs that make you tummy. If a dead bug, those are bugs like a mouse or whatever, will touch the outside of a klichet, touch it, it does not become tummy. But if a mouse will be inside the keli, without even touching the keli, the keli become, you have to hang it down with a string.
Oh, okay.
Okay? It goes into the vessel, and it doesn't even touch the vessel, but it goes inside, it becomes tamei. And that's what the pasuk is saying over here. Any open, and now we learn the pasuk, we'll see if that's what it says. Any open klicheres that's in the tent, when there's a dead body in the tent, becomes tamei. But if the klicheres is closed, it doesn't become tamei. That's what the pasuk is saying. A metal vessel is the opposite. If you touch the outside, it becomes tamei. If a bug, you know, comes in and the inside and doesn't touch it, it doesn't become tamei. The opposite of klicheres. Klicheres earthenware, the din is, it becomes tamei only by touching the inside. Obviously, if it touches the inside, also it becomes tamei because it's inside the air. But on the outside, it does not become tamei, and all the other kelim is just the opposite. And that's what the Torah says. V'chol kli pasuach, any open vessel. Okay? Asher in Tzomid Pasul Olav, that there's no cover on it, Tomei who becomes Tomei. If it's in the same tent as a dead body. By the way, remember last week we were discussing a little bit, but even when they take dead bodies to Israel,
right,
with Kohenim going on the plane, right, out of the work, because they're lechayda under the same cover, but then again, like we learned, that if there's a dead body in this room, but upstairs on the second floor, if there's no openings, then the tumah stops. But if the room is filled up completely to the ceiling, then the tumah keeps going through the ceiling. So there's a lot of different dinim, how they take dead bodies to Israel. Do they make a space between it and the cargo? Whatever. It's a lot of complications. A lot of, there are kohenim I know, that never fly El Al to Israel. Because they're always afraid maybe there's a dead body on the plane. Most of the dead bodies go with El Al to Israel. So the chances of a Jew, and most of the time it's Jews. So, you know, so they go on a non-El Al, you know, on a Goyish airline, that they shouldn't have any problems with becoming Tomei. Okay, then he says like this. Pasuk 16. B'chol ha-sheyiga apnei ha-sodom. Okay? Anybody who touches the slain by a sword on an open field. B'chol ha-cherev b'meis. Either by the sword or in the dead body. Or b'etzim adam b'cover. Or in a human bone, obviously, of a dead body. Or b'cover in a grave. Yitma shivas yomim will become tummy 7 days.
So the bones of the Yosef, they get tummy?
In other words, what the pasuk saying here is, if you're in an open field, so there's no ohel, unless you have trees, but say if there's no trees, an open field, so then you become tummy by touching it.
However, is it correct to assume if the body is in a metal casket and it's covered, somebody could move and not become tummy?
No, if you're touching the casket, that's at the din of Yibba Chalal Cherev. Or Rashi says that Rabbein included the girl of a Daifik, meaning even the sides of the coffin, the top of the coffin. All that, if you touch, if you carry a coffin, yeah, even though it's closed,
but I'm talking about metal.
It doesn't matter metal or wood or whatever. You carry a coffin, you become tummy. So a Kohen can never carry a coffin. What?
When you say over there, so when someone goes to the cemetery and
has
the grave, so you need 7 days to be...
Well, the time of... Not nowadays. Nowadays, but in time of the Pesach Mikdash, yeah, they needed to go to Paraduma. In fact, that's even... You know, people don't are unaware of certain things that it's important to know. If a coin passes away, okay... Now the children are allowed to go for a father, unless you're a Kohen Gadol, right? But for a father, you could become Tamei. But the problem is, let's say the Kohen is buried in the middle of a bunch of graves. Okay? So to go to the funeral is not a problem. You could become Tamei for your father. Once the father is buried, or the mother, how are you going to come back? How are you going to? You can't walk over the graves.
Surrounded.
Huh?
Surrounded with people.
No, but I'm saying you're walking on graves is not going to help you. Walking on the grave is not going to help you. Right? And there's graves all over the place. So that's why, in many of the, not in California too much, but in New York, Moshun, in Eretz Yisrael, in New York, in those places, they bury Koyanim.
Cool.
Not only that. Because how is a Kohen, okay, supposed to, okay, for the funeral he could become Tamei, yeah? He wants to go on the yard site, he wants to go to visit the father's grave, or the mother's grave. How can he go? He can't go, it's the middle of a bunch of graves, right? Even if there's no, if there's trees, B'chai got a big problem. Even if there's no trees, but you're touching grave, you go, you're walking, and you don't know exactly where the, and the land, the ground is full, and you don't know where the grave starts and ends. And So many places, what they do is, they have by the end of the cemetery, inside the fence, you know, you have a fence, the Kohenim are buried the first row inside the cemetery, and there's no trees. So then, a child, if he wants to come and visit his father's grave, stands, and it's a fence, like, you know, not a solid fence, they'll have, like, you know, the iron things. So then they'll stand outside the cemetery, so they're outside the mechitza, and then they can visit the father's grave, or the mother's grave, or the brother's grave, whatever. But otherwise, you have a problem. So a lot of times in certain cemeteries where you have roads, you know what I mean? You have roads, and there's no trees in a lot of the cemeteries, right? You have roads, and then, so sometimes they'll bury a kohen right off the road. So they'll drive in, because a kohen could drive through a cemetery if the windows are closed, because they're in a separate compartment. They're in a separate car. So it's like a separate place, a separate rishus. It's a mechitza, yeah. So sometimes they will even go, and then they'll get off on the road, and there's no trees, and they're 6 feet away from the grave, because there's no graves under the road, and then they can stand, you know, like 5 feet away, whatever it is, from the grave and visit it.
But that means when somebody dies, it's like a kind of spirit or ghost, and it's like an energy. If you could become terrified by something, the guy is dead. So that something happened after, it's happened like...
Again, it doesn't make sense. That's the law of Tumen Tare, doesn't make sense. That's what I'm telling you.
It makes sense if something has to come outside from the...
There was Kedusha, and it left.
Okay,
the dead body of a non-Jew is also Tumen, if you touch it.
But somebody, if a Kedusha leaves, somebody else is coming. Something else is coming. So, you're telling me about this something else? So what is with something else?
What is getting in there?
No, what is this?
Tumah is not something tangible.
Yeah.
You can't touch it.
But it affects you, so in a way it's tangible.
It affects, yeah, but it affects you spiritually, not in a physical sense. It's not something you could smell.
No, it's not.
You smell the tumah. you can't touch it.
But
you can't touch tumah. You can't, you know.
But you still get affected, right?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. God forbid, never happens. Somebody does a sin. You could touch it? The sin. You could touch? So what is it?
That you make a sin alive.
What is it?
Yeah.
What is the sin?
It's something that make you...
You do a mitzvah, you become holy. You could touch it? I got a handful of holiness. Huh? It's something different, spiritual.
Yeah, the Torah is holy, the Tzitzit is holy, the Tefillin is holy, so you touch them?
You would be able to tell if it's holy or not?
Yeah, I mean, if somebody...
You look at it, you could see holiness?
Yeah, inside is holy, I mean, otherwise...
If I show you a Tzitzit's garment that doesn't have the four Tzitzits on it, is the garment holy?
No, but...
Is the garment holy? No.
Make it more holy that,
I'm asking you a question. If a garment doesn't have the tzitzis on yet, is the garment holy?
No.
No. If the tzitzis has the garment has the tzitzis, is it holy?
Yes.
Now, if I show you a garment and I cover it, then you can't see if there's tzitzis on it or not. You're going to be able to look at it and tell me if there is or isn't, that it's holy or not? No. Nothing personal, but you can't.
But Tame means close, no? Close,
disconnect. Tame doesn't mean disconnect. Tame means...
Close, no?
Tame means impure, meaning it's not the sanctity of godliness.
That doesn't mean closed.
No, it doesn't mean closed.
It's not place to God later.
Rabbi,
what?
This Shabbat Yomim, it means after 7 days, is it pure? What is the Shabbat Yomim?
For 7 days, you have to get your tummy, and you need to get squirted on the third and seventh day. What?
If he doesn't stay tummy.
Right? If he doesn't, he stays tummy for 10,000 years.
Only so he has 7 days to be tahor.
No, the Torah just says when the 7 days come that you're going to become pure, you need to get squirted on the third day and on the seventh day. And then you become pure. If a guy was Tommy,
otherwise, if you don't do this,
listen, if a guy was Tommy and he lived in China, and then he came to the Beis HaMikdash 5 months later, okay, he's still Tommy, right? So now he comes to the Beis HaMikdash. Then on the third day and on the seventh day, they will squirt him with ashes, and then he becomes tar. That's it. Today we're all tummy doesn't help. Mikveh helps for all the other impurities. When Mashiach comes, okay, there's going to be a line going from Yerushalayim, from the Beis HaMikdash, probably around the world a few times, because all the dead bodies are also going to come up. They're going to need, I think, Paradum also. It'll be a long time. Take a number, come back in a few weeks, you know.
Like
people cut. No, then they're not going to. Mashiach comes, they're not going to cut the line.
Rabbi.
That only Jews do now.
You told us to Goyim, they don't have Neshama. Why they get Tameh? If they don't have Neshama.
Oh, so this says the body is still. Because they have a Nesham, not a godly soul. They have a Nesham, they're alive.
So,
what's the difference between...
Kudusha, you say okay. Kudusha going?
You have a non-Jew who's alive and a non-Jew who's dead. So, it has a soul. It's a different level of purity and impurity.
But dead rodents are pure too.
What?
Dead rodents, the eight shell.
Any dead living, any dead human, the animal is also tummy. And the veil is tummy.
He didn't have a soul.
So if they live, they have neshama. Anything as a life.
What's unique is a guy can never become tummy. If a guy touches a dead body, yeah. Okay, let's go back. If a Jew touches a dead body, let's say you work for a more chaver kaddisha. Okay, so you touch the dead body, and then I come to you in the evening, say, "Oh, shalom aleichem," and you touch me. Do I become tummy?
Yes.
Okay. If a non-Jew worked in a mortuary, and I say, hello, how are you? Do I become tummy? No. Why not?
You don't transfer because the
tummy. Because a non-Jew doesn't become tummy either. A non-Jew, when he's alive, there's no living creature besides a Jew that's tummy. Now think about it. A living rodent, a living animal, a living person, if they're not Jewish, okay? Any living thing in the world can never become tummy. Only a Jew could become tummy. Even growing, you know, when you say schach has to be from something that's not mekabel tumah and all that, because while it grows, it cannot be mekabel tumah.
So if a goy is not tameh, doesn't get tameh, why can't the goy turn on the gas? Because she's not tameh.
What's tameh have to do with this? Tumah has nothing to do with a goy turning on a fire. What does it have to do with tumah? It's nothing to do with tumah.
So when they get dyed, they get tummy?
They get tummy by touching, not in the same tent.
But the statue changed. They get
tummy. Right, but they don't make you tummy. If you're not touching them and you're in the same house, you don't become tummy.
They cannot only transfer the tummy.
Right.
So that's only
they can't transfer tummy either, only if they're dead.
No, only Jews can
transfer. Right. Now, I forgot to mention this before. The Gemara learned out some in Pasuk Yud Dalid, when I don't remember why I didn't say that before. Zaysa Teira Adam Ki Yomaz Ba'il says this is the Teira of somebody who dies in the tent. So the Gemara says, Eina Teira Miskayemes Ela B'misha Meimis Atzme Yoleha. The Gemara says, Teira will only have an existence for somebody that kills himself for Teira, that dies for Teira. Meaning, Zaysa Teira, if you want to acquire Teira, Adam Ki Yomis, you have to be willing to die for it. Meaning, you have to be completely in it. Yeah, sacrifice money, sacrifice foods. If you want to not physically die for it, He's supposed to live. But Zaysa Torah, if you want to acquire Torah, it's Adam Kiyomus. You have to be willing to die for it. Your whole life has to be for the diligence of learning.
Kill the world of pleasures.
Kill the world of pleasures. Very good. Okay. Pasik Yizayin. V'lokul atamei. So now, okay, you tell me 7 days. What do you do? V'lokul atamei me'afres reis v'sachatos. So for this tamei, now it's going to tell us the procedure how to get purifying with the ashes of the Panaduma. So you take for the person who's tamei, me'afer srefer sachatos, from the earth of the srefer sachatos, v'nosin olav mayim chayim alkali. And you put the mayim chayim, means the natural spring water, in a vessel. Okay? So you put the ashes together with the the ashes with the water, and then you mix it together. And then you take a pasuk is going to say you squirt the person. Now the Klayaker says a very interesting thing over here. Klayaker discusses the Mefarshim ask. He says, why is it that the Parah Aduma, we said, doesn't make sense, because the guy who was impure becomes pure, and the people that were pure become impure. That doesn't make sense. So the Klai Yoker says like this. He says, there's another thing that we need to understand. In order for things to become susceptible to become Tamei, like the Pasuk says in different places, we learned it in a few parshas ago in parshas Shmini and those parshas. It says kiyutin mayim alzera, that things only become susceptible to become tamei when they got wet. Well, we learned that a long time ago. In order for grain to become tamei,
wet
grain, food, anything, it has to be wet. It has to be gotten wet after it was cut from the ground. And even if it got dried, the fact that it got wet made it susceptible to become tamei. Kiyutan mayim alzera, then the Torah says that's when you become tamei. So Koyoka asks a very interesting question. That doesn't make sense. Water is purification. So listen to this, he asks. In order for grain to become tamei, it had to come in touch, in contact with water. Water is purification. So now water is making it ready to become tamei, when water itself is a purification. It says it doesn't make sense. Like, it's a very, very interesting question. Why does the Torah say in order for something to be susceptible to become tamei, it needs to come in contact with water? Water, it says, is a source of mikvah. I mean, that's the purification. So he says like this. This is the nature of everything. You become affected from something opposite of you. You know the expression, opposites attract? Opposites attract. And he says, that's why the Yetzer Hara works more by Jews than it does by non-Jews. And the greater the person, the Yetzer Hara is even stronger. Okay? Why? Because it's like you fight something that's against you. He says like this. As long as there's no water, if there's no purification, then Tumah doesn't fight it. Tumah will not try to make something Tumah if there's no purification first. Once you put Mayim on it, that's when Tumah says, oh, I'm going to get him.
Challenging, huh?
Because now it's the up, what?
Does it have to do, like what you said before, Tumah can go only when something that can become Kadosh?
Similar to that concept. So he says, when something never got wet, meaning it never had this purity, so Tumah is not going to get the Tumah. Once it becomes Mayim, so then Tumah said, oh, now I'm going to go fight you.
Even though that way it got wet and it got dry?
Yes.
But as long as it's cut off...
He says, this is what he says, Oz hatume retzayne lenatzeach hatahado. Once the stuff got wet, so in other words, it got like a little pure, that's when the evil goes to fight it. And he says the same thing is with the water. Okay, now a person is basically offered out of a lofer toshuv. A person basically is ashes, right? Dirt is okay. So he says like this: when there's all water, and then it becomes the ashes. When it's mixed together, and you pour it on a person that's tamei, okay, then he says the person will not get affected from the tuma of the ashes, because, in other words, like this: a person, because he's ashes himself, would not, and ashes represent death, you know, he turned into ashes. He says a person will not get affected by the tuma. He will get affected by the water that's in the ashes of the pot aduma to make him pure. He says, "Avu mispomen amayim," because they're opposite. Therefore, the mayim is victorious over the tuma.
So make him clean.
Because he's tamei, so he's not going to get affected from the ashes because it's also tamei. He's going to get affected from the water, but the guy that carries the water, he's not tamei. So he's going to become affected not from the water, but from the tumah.
Yes.
Right. And then he says, so if so, there should only be water, no ashes. Because you need to get, he says, you still need the ashes, because you need to understand the source of the tumah, which is the ashes, to know how to get rid of it. And the bottom line is, he says an interesting thing. Something could only become tumah once it had the taste of purification. And therefore it needed to have water on it. Even though there's no water on it now, it's dried, it was a year ago that it got wet. It doesn't matter, it had this taste of purification, now it could become tummy. So in order for this person to become tummy, you need mayim chayim akali. And just to finish with this, the Daskim Balatesa says, mayim chayim akali, he says as a hint, that when you read the Torah, you have call up Kohen Levi Yisrael. Why? Mayim is Torah. Torah is Eitz Chayim Hila Machazikim Ba. So Mayim Chayim refers to Torah. Keli is Kohen Levi Yisrael. So he said, Nasa Mayim Chayim? When you read the Mayim Chayim, when you read Torah, which is called Mayim and Chayim, then you have Keli, Kohen Levi Yisrael. He said, that's what the Daskei Malteis, Mikan Rem is Likris Betor, Kohen Levi Yisrael. Put him on the Torah that's called Mayim, and then Kohen Levi Yisrael. So there's a hint to why a person does. Okay.